Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Dustin Otakovin. He is a state veterinarian from South Dakota. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You gave a presentation at the American Association of Swine Veterinarians. It had a long title. I'm going to read the short one, What to Do When There's Something New, and you were really talking about foreign animal diseases.
Yeah, that's right. The idea for the talk and the title really came from a conversation that I was having with our state diagnostic lab director, Jane Hennings, who moderated the diagnostic seminar that I spoke in today. And we were talking about a number of the emerging diseases that have occurred not only in our state but in our region over the past several years. And one of those was PED virus. And as Dr. Hennings and I talked about, how can we more efficiently or how can we most efficiently work together as diagnostic labs, state animal health officials, veterinarians, and producers to address the unknown diseases or new diseases that may come about.
And in your presentation, you said that gaps exist, between the different stakeholders involved in diagnostics, and that's pretty scary when you consider the economic consequences of PED a few years ago and since then.
Right. Well, and one of the things I talked about in our presentation is foreign animal disease response, as you just mentioned before this. But we know what to do in the case of foreign animal disease. We have foreign animal disease diagnosticians that are employees of state and federal animal health agencies, and we've trained veterinarians to report signs consistent with foreign animal disease so that we can initiate a foreign animal disease investigation. And we have known diseases on that list, for example, foot and mouth disease virus, classical swine fever, African swine fever, and others. So when it's on the list, so to speak, we have a fairly clear direction on how we're going to do that investigation, where we will submit those diagnostic samples, what tests we will run, and how we will handle that situation. But when it comes to newly emerging diseases that are not on the list, so to speak, it's a little less clear where those samples should be submitted, what the role of the veterinarian is in educating their client, how the diagnostic lab is to report those samples, and what role do state and federal animal health officials have in the event of unknown pathogens, emerging diseases.
So tell me a little bit more about the gaps. I mean, you experienced some of these with PED, I guess.
Right, yeah, one of the things we saw with PED virus is, well, first of all, the positives of it were that veterinarians were working with producers, identified a clinical problem, submitted samples to the diagnostic laboratory, and the diagnostic laboratory did their routine workup for the clinical signs that were presented, for the history and the clinical presentation. And when the expected diseases that they were testing for were not found, they initiated additional types of diagnostic tests, and they did identify then porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, which I think was great that they were able to find out what that virus was. From there, other diagnostic labs worked collaboratively to develop rapid tests that would help the industry in responding to that. But one of the gaps that became evident the longer we experienced PED virus outbreaks was that we weren't working in a coordinated manner to control the further spread of that disease. And as a result, it spread very rapidly because our swine industry was, or the swine population was very naive to that virus. So I think we can do more in those early stages when novel pathogens are identified to use the best science of what we know to limit the spread of those diseases.
And when you say that we weren't doing a good job of working together, specifically, who are you referring
specifically
to?
Specifically, I think I'll bring it on my colleagues in the state and federal animal health agencies. I think we were not very nimble in working with veterinarians and diagnostic labs to find out ways that we could limit the spread of the disease. And part of my discussion today was to encourage people to be to communicate more with each other. I think we need to work through those challenges ahead of time to understand what we will do in the event of new emerging diseases. there's some good things have developed as a result of PED virus and these sort of things that I'm talking about. One of them is the Swine Health Information Center, the SHIC, in which they are looking at potential pathogens that have the potential to be introduced into the U.S. Swine system, and they are funding research in order to look at the best ways of mitigating the spread of those viruses or in some cases preventing the introduction of those viruses. So I think we just need an awareness that work is going on, and I think the more we can bring people around those points of prevention, and the better off we're going to be.
And good communication, as you mentioned, is important. It's a nice concept, but when people get into the heat of the battle and they're panicking and they're losing pigs and so forth, sometimes that can go out the window. I mean, is there that kind of a master plan in place for handling the next PED?
Yeah, we have a saying that during the emergency is a terrible time to be exchanging business cards and starting that communication. So yeah. I think the time is now to become involved. And there's a number of ways that we can do that. As far as a master plan for emerging diseases, I don't think we've got one yet, but there are some in the works. USDA APHIS did publish a draft concept paper for how to handle emerging diseases. I believe that was published last August, and so it's certainly out there as a starting point. And I think everyone should at least be familiar with the concepts there as we continue to discuss how best can we communicate and prepare for the unknown.
So there are really three main stakeholders here. They're the labs, the veterinarians, and the producers.
The veterinarians and their relationship with the producers is kind of where the rubber meets the road. They're the first line of defense against foreign and emerging pathogens because they're the ones who are recognizing the clinical signs. You know, the increase in diarrhea, the increase in respiratory disease, an unusual mortality or morbidity. So when those events happen, that's where we really need veterinarians to be getting complete epidemiologic information and collecting samples and getting that to the appropriate laboratories and communicating that with state animal health officials so that we can be aware of potential newly emerging issues.
And what can producers do now proactively to try to contribute to this effort?
Yeah, and it's hard to define what that is, but I think just general awareness of the importance of animal health, the importance of contacting their veterinarian in the event that something unusual shows up. Again, kind of the title of what to do when there's something new. It doesn't have a clear answer, but communication is underlying the most important part of it, where producers need to communicate with their veterinarians need to communicate with their diagnostic laboratory and state animal health officials. But I think the biggest thing I wanted people to understand is don't be afraid to make the call, don't be afraid to discuss the issue with others, because the more we can share, the more we can be prepared and have that early detection of whatever the newly emerging pathogen may be.
And looking at some of the foreign diseases that are out there right now, what would be the ones that concern you most for the pork industry?
Well, of course, I mean, the top three would be foot-mouth disease virus, classical swine fever, and African swine fever. Those are kind of the most commonly highlighted for swine. And, of course, the challenge with foot-mouth disease virus is it doesn't affect only the swine population, but also the cattle industry, the sheep industry. And so you have other entities that would be affected at that time. So one of the other things that we talked about was the secure food supply programs that are being developed, and there's the secure pork supply and the secure beef supply and the secure egg supply, secure turkey supply program, and those are all continuity of business plans which could be used in the event of a foreign animal disease. But one of the concerns I have is even if we work out the secure pork supply to where everybody in the industry has prepared their plan and they're doing biosecurity and they've got a plan for movement of animals and products in the event of a foreign animal disease, if we don't have those other species groups also to the same level of preparedness, there may not be widespread acceptance of moving animals in the face of an outbreak by other species groups who are less well prepared.
Now, when you look at PED, people like Scott D. and so forth have shown that there's a strong link between PED and feed ingredients coming into the company. We haven't talked about the feed companies.
Right.
What's their role in this whole process of being prepared for the next big foreign disease?
Right. Well, you mentioned Dr. D, and he's done some great work indicating that that feed may be a fomite for foreign animal disease introduction. And I think not everybody understands the amount of international trade in feed and feed ingredients that we have. a lot of our feed premix articles of feed are imported from other countries where these foreign animal diseases exist. Dr. D and his group, working with some of the folks at South Dakota State University, have identified or have proven that some of these surrogate viruses that act like foreign animal disease viruses can be transported in those transit times across the ocean and into our feed supply. So it's a real risk, and one that I don't think the animal health world has completely looked at. We've worked quite a bit in the area of prevention of introduction of disease through animals and animal products, but we haven't really addressed feed as a potential source of foreign animal disease. So I think that's something that it's something I've heard a lot about here at the AASV conference. Some really good presentations on looking at those centralized feed distribution centers that where you have trucks coming in and going out to multiple sites. It's something we need to look at. I would also reference that we found that to be a concern during the highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreaks that we had in 2015. Yeah. Some of those companies that distributed feed to multiple sites, the after action epidemiology reports indicated that some of those feed delivery systems contributed to the further spread of that virus. So there's a lot of work going into that right now. Of course, in my state and in Minnesota, the upper Midwest, in the middle of winter, it's hard to it's hard to find good ways to clean feed delivery trucks when it's 20 below and it's snowing outside.
The water tends to freeze.
Yeah, that's right. So we have some challenges there that we really need to be looking at, not only in feed source introduction from other countries or other places, but also just the physical, the transportation of feed and animals, for that matter, in transportation vehicles between farms. Those are biosecurity risks that we need to continue to address.
Well, it sounds like you have your work cut out for you.
Yes, we do. And the swine industry and the swine veterinarians that serve them have put a lot of work into it. And yet there's a lot of work left to do, I think.
We've been talking to Dustin Odakovin. He is a veterinarian, state veterinarian for South Dakota. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.